Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student-athletes at Penn State. I'm Jim Galante, along with me, Executive Director of HVU. It's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Oh, we're doing good. Excited to be back on the show and talk about, you know, what we got going on here currently. Ton of things going on. Now that I'm kind of like, you know, I'm helping out with some other sports. Usually February is kind of a dead period for me. Not dead, but it's slower. But now, yeah, you know, that I'm helping with other sports, it's pretty busy and like fun. So it's been really cool.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mention other sports. You and I often talk about it, how special a place Penn State is in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Mentioning the other sports, the last couple of weeks between the hockey game at Beaver Stadium, the wrestling match Friday night, number one versus number two, record-setting number of attendees for an indoor match, over 16,000 people, Mike, for that. Boy, it really just shows you, if you put a good product out there, you put a winner out there, Penn State fans will really respond. And it's, like you always say, it's a special place.
Yeah. I think I heard a quote from Coach Campbell and saying that, like, those two events were, like, some of the, like, most special events that they've ever been to. You know, going from the hockey game to the – or, no, it was the wrestling, I believe, right, Friday night, and then hockey on Saturday. But and then you had wrestling, you know, this past weekend, and that was awesome. again, like, I just feel like we almost take it for it's almost like we really don't understand, like, the degree of, like, eliteness that we have with the wrestling program. But not just that, but, like, even you have, you know, track playing now, lacrosse, both men's and women's lacrosse are in action now. You have there's just a couple of tennis is starting. There's a lot of other sports, kind of the smaller Olympic sports that a lot of people don't follow, but now that I'm kind of helping, it's kind of neat that I'm involved and I kind of see everything that's going on, not just, you know, the big sports like wrestling, basketball, football.
It is. And if you're in the State College area, check out some of the sports. The venues are great. You know, I mentioned hockey at Beaver Stadium, but seeing a hockey game at Pegula Arena, what a spectacular venue that is.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I love taking the kids to the lacrosse matches. Like, those, that's a pretty cool area. You know, the field's kind of sunk down, so you can kind of be elevated. It's like, it's a really good thing to go to. And lacrosse, my kids are starting to get into it a little bit now. So it's a really neat sport, and it's really good to have my kids and take them and see, you know, these athletes that are really good at each sport. So I feel lucky to be able to take my family and my kids to these all these different sporting events.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, again, just mentioning the venues, the baseball stadium is great, okay? It's a great venue. But I'll give you another one, and maybe your daughter would enjoy this, the softball venue.
Yeah.
And I went to my first softball game last season at Penn State. Boy, was I impressed with the level of play. Okay, you know I'm a baseball guy.
Yeah.
The level of play, softball, it's a fast sport. It really is. Things really move quickly. And great sport. I really enjoyed it. And I was very much impressed by the caliber of play also at collegiate softball.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time. All the athletes that we get here, that we recruit here across the board, are elite at every level, at any level. Like, we are elite, like, all across the board. It's fun. Yeah, I took, I think volleyball was playing, was it Michigan State, maybe, at Rec Hall about a month ago. I took my daughter, and we had, you know, there's not a bad seat in Rec Hall, but we were right at the front row. So it was awesome because those girls are, they're like avatars. They're huge. You know what I mean? And they are so athletic. So to see them like up front and how aggressive and athletic they are, it's really neat. It's really neat for me, but I get a kick out of it because my kids love it. You know, it's just really good exposure for them.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned volleyball. Again, it's a fast sport. I mean, it's impressive.
It's like softball, almost. Like, it's fast. Like, next thing you know, the game's over, but there's not a slow moment, TV timeout, you're waiting, going to get a hot dog. It's not that.
Exactly. Yeah, it keeps moving. Now, you mentioned the one downside. If I don't have time to go get a hot dog, I'm a little upset. But but still, there's some great non-revenue sports, way to put it, or the Olympic sports, however you want to put it. Living in State College as you are now, boy, if it's not too long a ride, find a schedule of what's going on in some of these other sports.
Yeah.
And it's got to be fun for you too, you know, as a football guy. But HVU, you know, for people to understand, it's about more than just football.
Yeah, I mean, we have to deal with all that third party money that these athletes are getting. So I have, you know, daily interactions with the coaches and the student athletes now, and it's been really cool. Just what people don't really, a lot of these smaller sports, I guess, you know, you say smaller in comparison to like football, you know, these coaches are awesome. Like I got to know Coach Dombach with women's soccer really well, and I really didn't understand like the history, Coach Dombach, and like the experience and like all the Sweet 16s, and then you, not just Coach Dombach, but all these other sports, you get to meet these coaches and the time and resources that they're putting in, just as much or more than like a football program. Like, you just have you get another another side of respect for these coaches. And I don't know. It's again, like, back to like, I always say like Penn State's special just because like all the people involved, all like the external people, the spiders of the world, and like the people that have been here for like 30 plus years, like the coaches are the same way. They're just, all the coaches are really good people and like good to deal with. And then the athletes are just, they're like their coaches. They're fun to deal with. I had to deal with a ton of volleyball girls last week, and you know, they're professional as can be. You know, on their, you know, they're sharp, and that's like all of them. I had to deal with like some lacrosse and some baseball players, and they're all sharp. So it's a testament to, you know, the type of people that we're recruiting, but you know, the coaches that we have in each sport are really good at what they do.
Well, you know, we often, those of us old timers, raised the Penn State, the success with honor. It's about more than the athlete. It is a student athlete. And I know folks these days with NIL, you know, say, hey, it's a pro sport now. Well, no, most of these student athletes, they're like the commercial says, they're not going to go pro in their chosen sport. They're going to do other things. And when you talk about the other coaches, I've been so impressed as I've met them and done some of these events. And I had an event, Mike, where the coach, she talked about with the players that it's not just practicing the sport. There's also this element of preparing them for the rest of life. She made her players each do a little presentation about themselves at the event to say, look, this is the kind of thing you're going to have to do in life. You're going to have to present yourself. You're going to have to sell yourself. You're going to have to brand yourself. It goes much further beyond just the sport itself that you're playing. And as the words were coming out of her mouth about this, all in my head, it's echoing the things that Joe Paterno always said. You know, the success with honor. We don't want to be just number one in football. We want the number one library. We want the number one at everything beyond this. And I'm always impressed with how much our student athletes become such great ambassadors for the university.
Yeah, and you know, it's harder for the coaches too to really kind of sink that in and make it resonate with the athletes now. Well, harder now than ever, right? With social media and all the pressures that these kids have, the money, agents, and everything that's involved now, it's harder to instill those like long term qualities that you're trying to develop through them in the college experience. That's what we're seeing on the higher level of. I was just listening to something today about these coaches. You're hearing a lot of backlash from basketball coaches about their team just not like loving the game, right? Like quitting. Yeah. You heard the Tennessee girls coach, I think Caldwell, say something. And then I heard a couple men's basketball coaches complain, and like not just like younger guys, but like some older guys. It was a good mix too. So that's hard to get through them when you're an 18 to 21 year old and you got, you know, a good chunk of change in your pockets. Because here at Penn State, again, to attract some of these good athletes in other sports, like we have to be able to pay them, you know, the fair market value, what they're worth. So we're not just paying, you know, good money to football, basketball, baseball, wrestling. It's across the board. So that's a challenge that these coaches have to, you know, make sure that they love the game. That's why I really love Coach Campbell's first presentation at Junior Days was, you know, you got to love the game. That was the first thing, because it's going to be tough. So when it's tough, like that love for the game's got to be the priority, right? And get you through that tough time rather than say, all right, I'm going to transfer, or I'm going to call my agent, or I'm, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what the world we're living in now. And I feel like Penn State does a good job recruiting, you know, good people, but it's tough. It's tough. Everybody's working through that challenge right now.
Well, if you know, in college sports, we've gone from zero to the hunt to 100 miles an hour in this compensation. And it's hard for adults who've been around for a while to not just put a price tag, you know, dollars and cents, but also to value the rest of the experience.
Yeah, it's tough. It's we are in such a interesting time. I keep saying it. This is the wildest time that we will ever see, as far as like guardrails, you know, a structure. This is the wildest time that we're gonna live through in college football, I think. I don't know where it's gonna go, Jim. Like, because we keep going further and further without direction. Like we talked about it. Like, who's going to get this right? It's not going to be the commissioners, because they have their own agenda.
Right. And everywhere. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about, I was just reading about a couple of court cases, and I want to ask you about them. Yeah. We're going to do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. With me, Executive Director of HVU, that's Mike Villagrana. Mike, when we finished up quarter number one, we were talking about what a crazy time we live in for college sports. You're living it. This is your job. And I had mentioned to you, you had said about who's going to take charge. Everybody has a incentive their own. You know, the commissioners of the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference have the most power, but we know they are just doing their job, is the way they put it, looking out for their own conference. But the one thing that's going on now that I find fascinating, there is a player who is in his ninth year of eligibility. Okay. I don't know if you saw his story.
Yeah,
it's rather fascinating. And what's fascinating to me is, well, I get done reading about some other players, and it's like you just want to shake your head. Good Lord, what's going on here? And the story about the ninth-year player, he's actually a sympathetic figure in it because this poor kid has ripped up his knee multiple times, foot surgeries. He just has not been able to play because of injuries. But I want to get to a couple of these other deals. Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback from Ole Miss, he's in court looking for an extra year of eligibility. Joey Aguilar at Tennessee is doing the same thing. And you had mentioned it. They're going to court, unbiased point of view, they're getting a local Mississippi judge who also has a degree from Ole Miss. He's the one ruling whether this player can get an extra year. And, oh, by the way, guess what his ruling was? Oh, yeah, we'll give him another year.
Yeah. I thought it was funny just because of my experience in Mississippi when I was there for 3 years. Because people say that, you know, down south, it's different. And, like, when you think down south, me being a Midwest guy, I'm like, okay, down south, Florida-ish, okay? There's south, and then there's Mississippi. It is different there. There's good old boy systems, and, like, it's just a joke. It's a joke. It's funny that, that guy – he ended up crying, I think. If you listen to the audio, and he started like tearing up and cracking up, like it's a joke. But like, it's like, can I? I wasn't very good, so I didn't play my redshirt year, and like I didn't play a lot my second year. Can I come back? Like, I want another year, maybe make a couple bucks. I wouldn't be worth crap, but. It's amazing. But if I were with them, I would be doing the same thing too.
Well, again, with the money involved, that's now the incentive where a guy like Trinidad Chambliss, nobody knows if he's going to be able to make the NFL or not. And if he does, he'll be like a later round pick, third, fourth round. Maybe there's $1 million there for him. At Ole Miss, he's going to make $5 or $6 million. And here is the couple arguments that go on for these teams or players is either, gee, my junior college years shouldn't count, or it's, oh, I was injured. I mentioned the one player who's going for his ninth year. If you would read the litany of injuries.
Coming out.
I'm sorry?
He was a big-time player coming out. I think he was Micah's class. We weren't really recruiting, but he was a big-time player.
Yeah, the guy I'm thinking of, he was out of Matter Day out in California, went to USC, but he's now like at Montana, I think, that. So he's not going to make big money. Now, he's a married man with two children. Okay, he's a grown-ass man now with grown-up responsibilities who wants to play football. So I read about him, and I'm actually pretty sympathetic to it, okay? And he's not looking to change schools, go to the highest bidder. He just wants to play another year of football. And I don't think he's an NFL-caliber player. But then you compare this with Trinidad Chambliss. His injury, apparently he had tonsillitis, okay? Eventually had his tonsils out. That's his big injury for the year. And the fact is, the judge who makes the ruling, not only is he an Ole Miss grad, but apparently his position is one where he's an elected official. So there are a lot of Ole Miss fans and grads who vote, of course. So if he wants to get reelected, gee, think about what he's doing. And what I found fascinating is now there's 50 states, Mike. If you have these players are now going to state court, not federal court. So you could get a ruling in Mississippi and a much different ruling in, say, Ohio. Although I can't imagine a judge in Ohio ruling against the Buckeyes. But that's what you're dealing with. I'm wondering if we're going to reach the point where, okay, in Ole Miss, they rule in Mississippi that Trinidad Chambliss has another year. I wonder if in the state of Alabama, they might go to a judge and the judge rules, well, you can't come to Alabama and play, though, when Ole Miss is playing the Crimson Tide. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, you know what? It was a totally different temperature in the courtrooms when it came to the Joey Aguilar hearing. I remember just seeing that the reports coming out of the courtroom talking about how, like, they were really trying to dissect the details of it and not just like go through some BS and then grant them what they want, you know? So like, you're right to your point, it's going to be different state to state and depending on what judge actually goes up there. But again, this is just a microcosm of the bigger picture, and the bigger problem is we just don't have any direction. We don't have any guardrails. And like, I don't know where it's going to go. Like, there's no light at the end of the tunnel right now, I don't think.
Well, I'm typically not an advocate of the federal government getting involved in things. However, this may be one where that might be the only smooth answer.
It's just, I don't know. That worries me just because everything's so political and that you got to pick left or right or whatever. So, and that just sucks when it comes to sports, you know? So that's, if we can find somebody that's going to lead that charge that, you know, is bipartisan and that's, they just care about the actual product and not, you know, the agendas, you know, whether they're left or right, then I think we got a shot. But until then, like, this thing is just going to continue to get messy, I think.
Well, the sport, college sports in general, college football in particular, is such a popular avenue there. You would think they would be able to, I'm not sure how the issue could be translated as left and right. I don't know. Maybe there's a way, but I can't think of it.
Right.
So it feels like one of those things where you should be able to get people from both sides of the aisle to agree on something reasonable. I know you're laughing as I say
yes,
that.
Yes, that sounds like it makes sense. That's common sense. Yes, Jim, you're right.
But there is no common sense in a world without common sense. But you'd like to see things. There's always the exceptions to rules. And once you start opening that door just a little bit, that becomes the problem when they start having medical red shirts for, you know, we talked about the kid from Montana and said, you know what? Kind of a sympathetic figure, would kind of like to see him have that other chance. But then you hear, you know, the Trinidad Chambliss story, and you just realize it's a financial decision. He makes possibly $1 million going to the NFL. He makes a definitive $5 or $6 million if he sticks around at Ole Miss. It's just a financial grab. And so how do you differentiate the two? You know, if it goes to court and you open it up a little bit, that's why the one thing, Mike, to tie in the advocacy for being able to play, what was it, 9 games and still have a red shirt, if that's just a prelude to, hey, you get 5 years. 5 years to play, that's it, cut and dry, black and white. 5 years, you play. And then you're done no matter what. To me, that's the advantage of doing it that way.
Yeah.
But could that happen?
The Ole Miss thing, too, the thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is the backup, Deuce Knight, who is a very talented kid, high ceiling, top prospect in the country at the quarterback position. And he was told that he was going to be promised, you know, pretty much the position. At least that's what all the reports are coming out of that. Coming out of Ole Miss, but Coach Golden told him, you know, you're gonna have a spot. This is gonna be your spot no matter what. And so he didn't enter the portal, and now there only being one portal window that's passed, Deuce is stuck in that position where he could be making that Trinidad money probably, because I don't think Ole Miss is gonna be in a position that they're gonna be able to pay, you know, starting money to two quarterbacks like that. So. That's going to be interesting what comes from that. I don't know if there's an appeal or what Deuce Knight is going to end up doing, but I think that's an interesting thing to watch and see how that kind of works out. It's just an unfortunate thing that came out from you know, this unfortunately.
Well, here, I'll tell you what, I'll give you his lawyer's argument right now. He could appeal it, say, you're depriving me of an opportunity to make money. I should be able to become a free agent. And all of a sudden, you get a sympathetic judge, and then you open that door again, Mike, right? You there, Mike?
Yeah, you hear me?
Okay, got you now.
I got you. I'm sorry.
But you meant you were talking about Deuce Knight. You know, if he ends up going to court somewhere and saying, "Hey, you need to set me free because you're depriving me of an opportunity to make money,"
I'm assuming he would be able to. Like with the way that the court rulings are going, he's going to be able to go to a judge and probably get out of that position that he's in. Because he's locked in with Ole Miss right now, and you know he isn't a graduate. That would be his only out that I know of. If he was able to graduate this spring, and then he'd be able to transfer. But I don't believe he's that. So it's interesting to see how that happens. But I mean, it's everybody's going to be doing it, right?
It is, and the argument always is you're depriving me my opportunity to make a living. All right. What I wonder, well, I'll ask you the question. We're up against the break. I'll ask you the question about this when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at HVU, Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. Mike, we were talking about just what's going on. Everything is going to court now in college football. We were talking about the situation at Ole Miss where the starting quarterback, he went to court to get another year of eligibility. The backup quarterback who was promised to be the starter, not going to be a starter now. But I'll tell you what, the lesson that should be learned by the players now is when he agreed to come back thinking coach told him he would be the starter, he should have gotten his contract signed and the money agreed on at that point. If not, he should have said, I'm entering the portal. Either, you know, you can't promise me starter money and then make me wait, and then end up not getting it, right?
Yeah, but if he's locked in, then I mean they're in a position then they're screwed because they weren't planning on giving starter money to two quarterbacks, right? So they're going to be in a cap or a money issue. Obviously, they're going to be going over the cap like most schools, but that just means they're going to have to generate more third party money.
Exactly. All right, let's shift gears. Let's get a little closer to home. Let's talk about Penn State a bit. You mentioned how much Matt Campbell is looking for players who love the game, love the sport. It doesn't mean they don't want to get paid, but there's the love of sport, the sport itself. You got to love football and want to be part of it. But also, Mike, just we've been talking so much. You notice all of these debates are about the quarterback position. It's the one place where there's just one guy. The rest of the positions, you could have multiple receivers, multiple running backs, multiple linebackers. So there's not quite that same element that there is in at the quarterback position. But so with the majority of the positions going on, tell us a little bit more about what it is Matt Campbell's looking for. His picture of what a Penn State football player looks like.
Yeah, I kind of said it a bunch, but it's people that love football. And I think it's a little cliche because every coach that you're going to run into is going to say that probably at some point, but it's really kind of what their actions moving forward from that and what they actually do pursue. You kind of see what they're really all about and what they're really looking for, because sometimes talent will supersede a guy that has less character, maybe. That's just the way it is. Some coaches are going to value that a little bit more than less talented, but better character type of guys. Matt Campbell is 100% genuine when he says he wants guys that love football, because of all the things that we're talking about. It's going to be tough, right? That's how he's always been recruiting, which really kind of matches the way that college football is now. So he's continued to recruit like that. And when I say guys that love football, he doesn't want to know the ranking because that could jade his opinion of them. He doesn't want to know how many stars he has. You know, he wants to know the tape, the kid when he meets them, and the parents and the family and the guardians. He wants to know that they're all in. The kid loves football. So when he does run into, some adversary in his first year, he's not going to the portal, or he's not going home, or, you know, it's part of it. It's part of the college experience. You're going to run into some tough times, and that's what he's going to be really trying to recruit for.
Now, last week we were talking about a couple recruiting setbacks for 2027, and you brought up a really good point, which is not having the record at Penn State for the players to look at. They don't get to see the high-powered offense. They don't get to see the structure of the defense. They don't get to see the winning tradition yet, at least under Matt Campbell. So now you've been in this recruiting world. You've been where you have new coaches coming in and trying to establish things. So what is the strategy now of this coaching staff? What is the conversation like with those 2027 recruits when you don't have the history? You don't have the, we've won 10 games here this year. How do you establish those relationships?
I think it depends on the coach and the experience the coach is going into that head coaching job. So from my experience, like, a lot of the coaches that I worked for were first-time head coaches, right? So they really didn't have a product to kind of rely on other than, like, you know, Huff, you know, with his running back history and all the great running backs that he coached up, or Jomo. It was what he did at Penn State, but not what he hadn't done anything anywhere else other than Penn State, and, you know, Fordham and all the other schools that he was at, but nothing at Mississippi State. So, and he was never a head coach other than Fordham. So, but Matt Campbell's coming in. He's been a head coach. He was a young head coach. I think, was he 30-ish? Young 30s.
Toledo, yeah.
Yeah, so he has that experience. He has the head coaching experience that he can also sell to them. But it's still kind of like a thing where you don't want to, like, press them, especially if there's some hesitation. Because we got in trouble in the past where we wanted to press and get recruits and looks really good. But you're really selling them on you and not the product too. So, like, you want them to be all in, especially this first year. So they're doing a great job establishing relationships, trust, all those things. And so then when it comes to the games and the fall, it's just icing on the cake, you know, granted that we, you know, have a good successful year. So that's kind of that's the way that kind of works out. Coach Campbell, obviously with his experience, this staff, the experience that they have, and also it's Penn State. So you combine all of that, we'll be in a good position with the 27s.
What I thought was interesting, and it was one of the other assistant coaches, I believe it was the safeties coach, was talking about what a difference Terry Smith makes in helping out in that process, where he's like, okay, we go into a home, they're seeing, or to a high school program, they're seeing us for the first time, but then they also see Terry there. Hey, Terry, you know, it's a relationship that's been established. And I tie that into something that Terry Smith said, which I also found fascinating, Mike, that he talks about his experience as a head coach and how that makes a difference when he goes into someone's door, because they now know who he is. He had so much ink as interim head coach at Penn State that he needs no introduction now. He's got that status of like a whole head coach. So it really, those two points kind of tie into each other, Mike, that I find it interesting, and how much it's not just a nice story that Matt Campbell wants Terry Smith around. It's very pragmatic wanting Terry Smith around.
Yeah. It reminds me of the mafia movies that you watch, right? You know, all the documentaries. You know, when you get a new recruit for that mob organization, and you go to like a function, and they say, "What? Yeah, he's one of us." Or yes. There's like, "Yeah, that's Terry. Terry's doing that with the recruits, the high school coaches, the people that are connected to these kids. He's basically vouching for this staff with these guys." So it's awesome. It's perfect, to be honest. And then, you know, Matt and you know, the rest of the staff are going to come in and they'll do their deal, be genuine. And, you know, it works out, but it's getting them in the door, which is Terry, you know what I mean? So we've been talking about it. He's going to be great to bridge the gap of those relationships. And just the way that I know Pennsylvania high school recruits and coaches, they're going to vibe right off the bat really well with this coaching staff.
Well, that's also, we've been talking about Matt Campbell coming from Ohio, having some Pennsylvania roots. His history sounds so much like yours, Mike, you know, Ohio guy, but so similar to Pennsylvania, understanding the Penn State history. Matt Campbell mentions the Penn State players from the past almost exactly the way that you do. So when we talked about the coach from Brigham Young, and cultural difference, that's what we were talking about, that kind of fit that you understand by being here and having grown up in this region.
Yeah, especially in Northeast Ohio. So like where kind of Coach Campbell and myself grew up in, I'm Youngstown. He's like an hour west of me. You grew up on the Joe Pa days in this region. And in that region, it's kind of like similar to Pittsburgh. There's a ton of – it's Irish Catholic, a ton of Italians. And obviously Coach Joe Pa, like that's – people, Italians loved Joe Pa, right? So there's a huge mixture in that Northeast Ohio region that just gravitates to a Penn State. And I was like kind of one of those kids. I was just too slow, so I couldn't come.
Well, it's funny when you mentioned Joe Pa and the ethnicity, there's the old story of oftentimes when he'd go into a recruit's home, mom would always cook because of Joe Paterno would cook him spaghetti and meatballs. No matter where he went, he'd always mention how this is the best spaghetti he's ever had in his life.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's amazing that they did really good in the past in Ohio, but like if people in the audience out there that know Youngstown, Ohio, it has like a rich, not rich tradition or history. It has a history of mafia ties, you know, between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. It was kind of that middle point. And so like there's a ton of Italian people there that love Penn State football. I have a bunch of my family that are just diehards. He makes sense. His staff is, you know, obviously very like-minded like him. So it's just it's a really good fit.
Well, it's interesting. It's not a story for on the air, Mike, but you bringing it up. When you and I perhaps over a beer, I'll tell you some of the stories my dad has told me about my area here.
Oh, Marwick? Yeah. Yeah.
There were a few things that went on that, in the neighborhood. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Mike, when we get back, it's time to shift gears again. This week we got the announcement of the Penn State players who are going to be at the Combine. an interesting mix. I want to hear from you, you know, who you think might be a bit of a surprise there, who's going to impress. Yeah. And I'm also going to ask you, with all that talent, how the hell did they lose games this year, Mike? We'll talk about that right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show. Mike, we're hitting everything. We're hitting the legal system. We're hitting the political system. We're hitting the ethnicities of our respective hometowns. And we even hit the mafia. So we got a little bit of everything today. Let's switch back, though, to football, specifically the Penn State players. I know they've moved on, but it's always interesting to follow the Penn State players at the combine. Going to be well represented. Let me just go through this group. Quarterback Drew Aller, running backs Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, of course, tight end Khalil Dinkins, Denai Dennis Sutton, Zane Durant, Vega Ioane, Drew Shelton, Zaki Wheatley. My goodness, that is a lot of talent. Whether there was the players leaving through the portal or not, you lose that many players, it's going to be a real changeover in the team and the talent. But how did this team lose six games with all these players on it?
I don't know. I'm always going to – I think with the way college football is now, I feel like that – group of players, that generation of players, just ran into like a buzzsaw of like confusion of like getting paid all this type of money, new money, going through kind of evolving. Like that class has been here 5-6 years, right? So they've been through the evolution of the NIL and what it's come to. And I just think like to get money like that for the first time, and we were all experiencing for the first time, I think that has something that motivation that you have usually coming out of high school is you don't have money, you're broke, right? And you want to make it to the league. You want to make it to the NFL, right? Because that's how you're not going to be broke. Well, that motivation, how do you keep that motivation with every single kid? You know, then that's where like the love of football comes. All right, do they really love football? Right. Or are they just doing it because they got a check now and they got paid? You know what? Like, this is so random. But like, if you were like a fantasy football player guy, don't ever pick up a guy that just signed a big contract. Right. Because they never do good. They never do good that next year after they get their first big contract because they got paid. Their motivation is in that. But if they're on a contract year, that's a good one.
I was just going to say, you get them on the last year of the contract. It's literally, and again, you know, I'm a big baseball guy. That's part of the evaluation of a player. And, you know, bringing him to your team when he's only got 1 year left on his current contract. You're right. It's that incentive to get the next contract.
But this group of players didn't have an incentive, really, unless they really love the game. And I'm not saying they don't, but It's just not that. There's a lot of things that you could point the finger to. But I just think as a whole, finding that motivation as a player across the board in the country, it's going to be tough. I think it's tough. It's a tough challenge for coaches. And I talked about it earlier in the show, just because you get six figures in your bank account from being a senior in high school, that's tough to deal with from a maturity standpoint for any 18, 19-year-old kid in the country, let alone 30-year-old.
Well, and also, Mike, a part of this, you know, the incentive, as you said, it's not a case that they didn't love the game. I wonder how much of this is, remember the Oregon game, okay? Two top five teams, goes into double overtime. You're that close to winning the game. Literally a ruling that gets overturned. One blade of grass was long enough that the Oregon running back's knee touched it. So he was considered down instead of fumbling. And, you know, there's that much difference. You wonder, you know, had things, the ball bounced a little differently in that game. And just to support my argument, we saw when this team kind of started to get its head back together again, Indiana, by far the best team in the country, by far. We all know that now. Penn State gave them all they could take that day. And again, it took this incredible touchdown, you know, the foot tap at the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
And people forget they also had to drive the length of the field, Indiana did, you know, to win that game. So I think that showed you how much talent was on this team and how close that margin between success and failure is. But we end up with all of these players now at the combine. And we know Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, they're dealing a little bit with injury. But of that group, Mike, is there anyone on there that you say, you know what, he's going to go to the combine and really impress people?
Wheatley, by far, just because off the hoof, you're going to look at him. And he's not like Winston. And granted, I've only seen Winston at Pro Day last year. But when I first saw him, I'm like, that's a safety.
Oh, my God. Yes. Like,
holy crap. I think Wheatley has that, oh my gosh, when you first see him, length. And then he's probably going to run some really good times. He's going to be athletic. He's going to be a combine warrior, I think, from an athleticism standpoint. So I think he'll knock it out of the park at the combine. I think he'll do a really good job. A big part of this too is the interviewing part, right? So they want to know a lot about these kids. Wheatley, for anybody that's ever seen him or followed him and listened to his interviews, he's an awesome kid personality-wise. So I think he's going to do really well. I think he's going to jump off. And I think Denai is going to, because he, like, when you see him in person, you're like, wow, he is a really good-looking, like, total top-down kid. He's how you want him to look. And then he had a really good senior year, obviously. So, and I think he's going to really test well because he is really athletic for his size. So I could see him coming out of this combine and really helping himself out. I think those other guys, they would have to, I think the injury stuff is going to hurt them. If they just go, I think the guys that just go to interview, but like, I think Nick and Katron need to run some good times to really kind of propel them to maybe another level of projections. But you know, Drew's gonna be, I'm interested to see how Drew does, because Drew, it's obviously going to be a ton of interviewing with him. There's going to be I don't know how much he's going to throw. I have no idea, but you know, he could really help himself out in this, big time, just because the way that it went last year, and I'm assuming he's not going to be able to do anything right with the ankle. So it's really going to all be interviewing stuff. What I really would like for him to see from his interviews and like to hear about his interviews is he's like really coming off as like genuine, like, yeah, not like so much robotic. I feel like he got like that a little bit. Like it was just almost just like a script. Whereas like now, like he can like really hopefully open up, be himself, talk about what went good, what went wrong, how is he going to get better. I think he has a really good shot because he's a charismatic kid. He's beautiful looking kid, you know, from a football standpoint. You know, he's big, he's strong. Gosh, he looks like he still looks like a baby. You know, he's got that baby. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Zane, I think Zane will test well. It's just the height, I think, that teams are going to have to get over with him. Who else is in the combine?
Well, I'll tell you the couple names that I thought of that might. Khalil Dinkins doesn't have the numbers.
Oh, Dinkins is going to kill it.
He's got the combine body.
He does, and his tape backs it up, I think. You know, I think Rapp finished the year probably being a better all around with the blocking, but he was just right there. I really respected Deacon's game because he was an all around tight end, but he does have really good combine type athleticism. Like, he's going to time well, he's going to jump well. And he's another personable kid, right? He's got a really good background with his dad, his brother, and like he's going to be sharp. Yeah, I forgot about him though. But yeah, I've loved him for a long time. That room was frustrating just because there were so many damn good kids in that room. So yeah, I see him. Who else on defense?
Well, I think that we hit him. Deny Dennis Sutton, I think, is just so athletic. Just keep putting on replay that interception he had in the playoffs against Notre Dame, where he dropped back into coverage as a defensive end, and I just say, my God, I want that person on my team.
He's going to go in looking good too, because wherever he's working out, they want these guys to look like freaking Tarzans.
I know he's going to be a first round pick anyway, but Vega Ioane, at his size, that athleticism.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he all does, if he does everything. I don't know. Like, he
doesn't just have to. He's going to be like a middle first round pick anyway.
Yeah, he does. With him, it's probably going to be interviewing and finding out about him, what makes him tick, and if a couple guys fall in love with him, he'll stay in that middle, if not higher. Because just show that one clip where he's motioning out and he's crushing people 300 pounds.
Yeah, you shouldn't be that size and move that way, okay? That's just not right. But I see that. I did want to ask you also, you were talking about Drew Aller, and I don't know what the injury would be like, but I got to think, too, you said he looks like what an NFL quarterback is supposed to look like, 6'5", 230, 240, and that's an NFL arm, right? I just always pictured that somebody, no matter – what happens on the field in college, some NFL type is going to say, my God, I can do it. I can fix him. I can make him what, you know, you can't coach that big an arm and that big a guy.
Yeah. I mean, at the quarterback position, because, I mean, you throw a guy a flyer like that, right? Because if you hit, you're the GM of the century, right?
Yes.
You know, and if you don't, it's like, okay, well, we would maybe a third, fourth. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. I could see him, like, people falling in love with him.
Yes.
I don't know if he falls in the first two rounds just because of that injury, right?
Yeah, I can't see that. I'm not sure even without the injury we would have seen a first or second round pick. What I'm wondering, we don't know how he's reacting to the injury. Maybe it's, you know, not do much at the combine, but maybe it's at pro day where he'll work out.
Yeah, it's that sucks for the kid that he's not going to be able to work out. But yeah, room for him, obviously. But that's a tough road that he's got in front of him. But he'll do good because he's going to be able to talk to these guys, and they're going to look at him, they're going to love him, they're going to love the strong arm, everything. Like I said, they're going to somebody's going to throw a flyer at him.
Definitely. And I just real quick, you took me to the practice where we're down close to the field watching that arm talent. I was like, my goodness, that's going to have to be the last word, Mike. Thank you. Thank all of you for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.